Good morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the question that I just posed, Lord, I pray that you would help us be able to answer that with resounding by God's grace, by your strength, by your power. Lord, there is so much we struggle with. There's so much that sometimes entangles us, the challenges of life, the challenges that keep us from being fully devoted followers of your Son. Help us, Lord, with that. Help us just let that go so that today, especially at this moment, we may be prepared for what you have for us and for how you work in us and through us. God, my thoughts, my words, may they be seeds planted in fertile soil. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And so now we turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. For who is going to harm you if you're devoted to what is good? But in fact, if you happen to suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. But do not be terrified of them or be shaken, but set Christ apart as Lord in your hearts. And always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you about the hope you possess. Yet do it with courtesy and respect, keeping a good conscience, so that those who slander your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame when they accuse you. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if God wills it, than for doing evil. Because Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, to bring you to God. By being put to death in the flesh, but by being made alive in the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And so, in this series that we've been discussing 1 Peter, if you're a guest or maybe you missed a couple weeks, I've been discussing how Peter is trying to help this congregation, these new followers of the Lord, to know that they live between two worlds, that there is this world that has beauty, has traces of just remarkable things. You just go, wow, there is a God. And yet we also live in the same world that we know there is no way this is exactly what God wanted. There is brokenness. This is real life. There's loss. There's grief. What do you do in those times of loss and grief? Where do you turn? What is your strength? In discussing this with you, I share with you how the scripture, especially how Peter uses it, he refers to all of us kind of being like in a faraway place, that we are exiles, that this is not our home, and yet God said this place was good. And he still has us here. There's some reason he wants us here. He wants us to be in this world, but yet be different from this world. He challenges us in this letter again to grow up in things like to keep loving, to show hospitality, to use your gifts, not for your own, but for serving others. Peter also tells us that we demonstrate to a broken world what life could be in him. There's so much richness in Peter. If you've never read 1 Peter, you should check it out. It's got some very practical things for life and helps us remember what matters most. Last week, I shared with you how God's dreams for us are bigger than our own dreams and the call that he gives us to live a faithful life. Today, I want to talk to you about trials that are designed to build a deeper trust in him. What trials are you facing currently? Sometimes we ask the why, God, question. And don't get me wrong, that's not necessarily a bad question. But something that I think is interesting, when you read part one of our Bible, also known as the Old Testament, when you read part one, they never ask the why. There's never given an answer of why. But they keep responding, for what purpose, Lord, are you using this? What do we do with it, Lord? How do we walk in trust with you? At no point are they there is no God because of this. Interesting. That's more of a modern dilemma. And I'm not saying it's not a question you can't ask. Let me just share some insight with you. When it comes to our amazing good Father, our good God, He invites us to come to Him with any and every question. With a spirit of seeking understanding, He says, bring it. The whole book of Psalms, which is about 150 prayers or songs, if you will, written to the Lord, are dripping with authenticity, with transparency. They so desperately want and invite us to come to Him with anything and everything and say, I need your help, Lord. Where are you in this, Lord? I think sometimes, instead of asking why, we should ask what for. Do you believe and trust that God is sovereign? Now, that's a big, fancy theological word. Sometimes people say God is in control. And that's got traces of it, yeah. But it's so much more texture than that. Let me give you kind of a quick rundown, if you will, of God's will. There is an understanding of God's will. Sometimes it's helpful to look at it various perspectives, if you will, okay? There's God's sovereign will. His will that no matter what happens, God's going to do what He's going to do. He's going to accomplish what He's going to accomplish. At no point did He finally get enough people to finally pray for Jesus to come and then say, oh, we had our 1 billionth prayer, now Jesus, go. He was going to send Him at that time, no matter what. Nothing could thwart God's purposes in that. There's God's sovereign will. Nothing could change it. This is, I think, the will that Peter mentions when he talks about, you know, if God wills this suffering. In other words, if He allows it to happen for His purposes, we can trust Him that anything, as being a son and daughter of His, anything that passes through His hands, He can and will use for good if we respond well to it. He wants to use it for good all the time. But how do we respond to those trials? How do you respond to when you have those questions? And I'm not saying, again, that you can't ask those questions. We need to know that our faith can deal with the real life issues, the hard stuff. Some of you might know of the new modern hymn writer. I call him a hymn writer. Sometimes, if you will, contemporary music, Matt Redman. Matt Redman's been around for over 20 years now. Again, contemporary music, that might be like, you know, generations. I don't know how that works. But Matt Redman was serving in a church over in England. He's known for a song called The Heart of Worship. And the whole song really came out of a time where they weren't doing music. In fact, it was weird. If you really look back on it, they were at a time where the band was known throughout the community that they were amazing. And people would come, and I'm talking loud. I'm talking, it was just there was a movement happening. But the pastor thought, he had this inclination. He felt the leading. He said, I think we're worshiping our worship more than worshiping our God. And so here's what we're going to do. He asked them to put their instruments down, and we're going to worship with our hearts. No instruments. Whoa. Bold move. And that, out of that experience came this heart of worship, that God wants us, more than a song, He wants all of our hearts. Over that time period, though, him and his wife had a miscarriage. There were some bombings over in London. And he said the world just felt like it was crumbling down. He's just asking, Lord, how are you going to use this? We feel such a loss with our child. And then he turned to Psalm 23. And he just knew God never lets go. Even when I don't think I can hold on anymore, He never lets us go. Maybe you need God. Maybe you need to be reminded of God's goodness today. Especially when it comes to you as your child, as you being His child, He loves you and He will never let you go. Nothing can thwart His sovereign will for you. That doesn't mean He's directing, okay, now stub your toe here. That's a whole nother type of belief system called determinism. That's not at all what we're talking about in Christianity. Fate is what kind of Hollywood would say, if you will. No, this is that God is working for the good of those who he's called according to his purpose. So God's will, known, if you will, sovereign will, nothing can change it. Then there's also God's moral will. His will for your life and my life. The moral will is that part where we don't have to actually pray for what's right or wrong when he's made it clear in his scriptures. You don't have to pray, should I move in with her or move in with him? God's been pretty clear on that. We shouldn't have to pray, should I cheat this person or not cheat this person? Is it okay? Is it okay, God? Is it okay? No, he's been very clear. And yet, sometimes we just go, well, but I don't know, it just feels right. Or why not? Moral will, what's right, what's wrong, how do we live, how do we treat one another? What's the best for that person, what's the best for you? Sovereign will, moral will, and this is the one where a lot of times we jump to either the first one or the third one. Either it's we think sovereign as fate, or we think of it's just whatever I pray, and whatever God wants to do, he just leaves it totally up to me, total freedom. Again, I think there's more layers here. That's why I said, like, kind of help these different perspectives. What's God's personal will for you? Now that is, of course, because he's God, taking into his sovereign will and his moral will, but then personally, where is he leading you? Where has he called you? How has he called you to go? Who has he called you to be and become? God has placed you where he has you. That is not an accident. That is not just a nice saying. That is core to the church being God's agency. God's work in this world, you and me. And so the sovereign will, moral will, and personal will, where do we go when we are trying to live this faithful life and yet we feel like maybe God is just missing these trials that we're encouraged, we're struggling through? The trials that you and I face, broken relationship, a conflict that you just don't know what to do with, money problems, challenges, jobs, fill in the blank. Where are you surrendering it to him and saying, Lord, you're never going to let me go. You never let go. Help me trust you now. What is your response when suffering happens? He says this, for who is going to harm you if you are devoted to what is good? Almost kind of like it's so rare. Who's going to harm you? When you're doing good for others, who's going to harm you? But he knows real life too. He says, but in fact, if you happen to suffer, so there's going to be times for doing what is right, you are blessed. That there's something God wants to do in your life, he wants to bless you with, in a deeper trust with him. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Don't be shaken. But set Christ apart as Lord in your heart. Let him take care of the results. Trusting in him when life is easy isn't hard. But trusting in him when we get that phone call while you're having dinner about another test that needs to be done. We're not happy with this. What do you do? How do you lean into it and say, Lord, help me trust you? Guess what? Just like that. It's a simple prayer. Doesn't mean it's easy, but it's about taking it and putting it in his hands. He goes on to say, and always be ready to give an answer to anyone. Interesting. Talking about suffering, talking about trials. How we go through those trials and how we go through that suffering is a way for others to come to know the goodness of God. Are we suffering well? Sounds weird to even say that. It's probably weird just to even consider it. Lord, am I suffering well? Or do I moan and complain and cry? You know what I found in the 43 years of my journey, which is, I know, a drop in the bucket for a lot of you. And for some of you under 25, you're like, man, you're so old. Anyhow, is when I pray, I'm strong in the Lord. When I turn to him, I'm strong in the Lord. When I turn to him and I read of his word, I'm strong in the Lord. But when I don't, I'm a wimp. I don't have what it takes. In fact, it's those moments when I look in the mirror, I just go, Lord, what were you thinking? Calling me? Come on, there's so many better people at this than me. And here's what I've heard almost every time. And again, it's more of a thought or more of an inclination, if you will. He doesn't say no. He goes, yep, I could have. No doubt, no joke. But I chose you. He's more concerned about who we're becoming than how efficient we are, believe it or not. How are you and I doing the work of God in the way of God? How are we trusting him when the trials come? And it goes basically to a question. Well, for me, I gave it to you as a statement, but it's a question for you. Do you believe God never wastes a hurt? Because I believe God never wastes a hurt. If God wastes a hurt, then I question his sovereignty. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to understand how he uses the hurt. There's so many things he does not give answers to in his scripture. So many things. Why do you get bullied at school? So many things. There's brokenness, absolutely. We can give you some theological steps of how that works, of humanity and the brokenness that we have and how it creeps into every part of our lives. And yet, when it comes down to it, that does not satisfy. Why does suffering happen? He has not given us the ability to figure that out. We do know that there is brokenness. We do know that the world is not as it should be. But we do know, and this is the amazing, beautiful hope, we have a God who walks with us through it. No matter where we're at, he's right there with us. Our newborn baby has complications. I'm right there with you. What do I do now that my spouse has passed on? I'm right there with you. I don't know what we're going to do next month for the business. I'm right there with you. Do you believe God is good? I guess maybe is a better question. What's your next step? How do you go on from here? 1 Peter gives us so much about, again, trusting in him, understanding that we're going to have those days that just, man, Lord, what is going on? How are we to go forward? Where do we go next? Keep turning to him. Respond with hope and trust. Say, Lord, not my will, your will. Lord, would you please bless this baby? But Lord, we're praying for healing, but please, Lord. Lord, help me to know how to encourage my son or my daughter. Help me to reconnect with them. Help me to reunite with them. Wherever you find yourself, he is big enough. My daughter's room, I never ever told anyone this. We put stars on the ceiling. Because for me, the stars, when I look at them, are a reminder of God's amazing goodness and generosity and creativity. That the same God who made those is the same God who walks with us in our deepest trials and struggles and says, I am big enough. I didn't cue that. That was someone's phone. But I liked it. Seriously. I pray that when they look at the stars, they would be reminded of that too. So when you find yourself taking a walk and you see the sunset, or maybe you're taking the view in from the beach, or maybe you're sharing a meal with a loved one, and you just have that moment where you go, I see how life is beautiful. I see what God is doing. He has me here for a reason. Help me not to miss it, Lord. God is doing something in us. And if we want him to continue to do something in us and through us, we have to be open when these trials come. Lord, not my will, but your will. Help me trust you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, help us to understand that suffering, you have a purpose for it, that you want to use it for good. And you won't ever waste it. You never let us go. And you made us in such a way that suffering happens to us, that we are not in control. Help us, Lord, to build our trust in you when we struggle, when we're not sure, when we don't know what to do next. Help us to know that you are big enough. Lord, as we're going to prepare our hearts for communion, Lord, help us, Lord. Help us to trust, to pray, to know that you are big enough for us. That we don't have to have it all together. That you want to meet us here with the means of your grace. We thank you and we praise you. But Lord, we also pray for those who the trials seem so hard, so heavy, so crushing, that they would know of your grace, that this would be a tangible reminder of your presence with them. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.